All right, hockey fans, listen up, because we've got something special cooked up for playoff season. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now, here's the deal. Every playoff game, you're going to be faced with a handful of questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle, and it's free to join. And there are prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? Daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards. Treat yourself to some nation gear or maybe even your favorite jersey. And for the big dogs, the people who can win an entire round, it's straight, cold, hard cash. We're talking about real dough for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Sign up today and play every game day at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Is presented by Betano. The game starts now. Here are your hosts, Brent Wallace, Jason York, and Bobby Ryan.
Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to Coming In Hot. I'm Brent Wallace alongside Jason York and the newly repositioned Bobby Ryan. you're not wasting any time to get rid of it.
Yeah. I'm almost to 50% on my bets this year. So I told you I'd wear it. I threw it on for the boys.
Do you need the visor?
You know what? No, I think my nose is getting bigger, or I'm getting heavier in retirement because I feel like I'm touching the visor with my nose. It's like
that's day. Awesome.
Smoke a cigarette in the shower. That's,
well, yeah.
Oh, man. Where'd number 54 come from?
It was my rookie number in Anaheim. I just took it when I got to Detroit. They apparently retired a few numbers in that organization.
Yeah, one or two.
So you couldn't get nine. Nine was available. Yeah.
40 Howland is pretty good.
Should have wore my old training camp number 87 or 86. They gave me number 86 because there was 86 guys in camp, so I got number 86.
Did you make the cut that year?
Right back to junior to play at another year of overage junior A hockey.
There you go.
Yep.
When you see those numbers in camp, do you just know that you are a long shot?
Well, oh, yeah. here's hint number one. Well, back when you used to go to camp in Detroit, they had three dressing rooms. So if you were a veteran and maybe a guy that was going to make the team, you got to dress in the NHL room. The guys that were all high draft picks and going to the American League were in the visitors' dressing room. Down the hall, where I think the janitor's closet was, were the guys invited to camp, the guys drafted in the sixth and seventh round, like myself, and guys that had no hope of making the team. They actually, Bobby, this is no lie. I didn't have sticks. I didn't have my own pattern yet. So they basically took a bunch of old stock Louisville sticks and threw them in the middle of the dressing room, and here you go, boys, take a stick for camp. Here you go.
Have at it guys.
Ooh, give me one of those. That's when
Yorkie came dressed for camp.
That's when you know you're not making it, when you're scavenging for a stick.
Yeah, and you're in the locker room that is collecting per diem to go back to juniors. Just like eating every meal at Quiznos.
What a start to the show.
Off the rails.
Anyway, this show brought to you by Botano. Go to botano.ca. And now listen to whenever Bobby speaks, because Yorkie's streak is over. Botano.ca, get 100% welcome bonus up to $500. Also download the app. They are a casino and online sportsbook, Botano.ca. All right, lots to talk about today. Before we get to the Telestrator that we've spent, $29.95 on to hopefully explain how the Sens system works. A couple of things to discuss before that. And one is, all I kept seeing last night was the positive talk about, oh, the Sens played well, they should have won. So are mm-hmm. we happy that the Sens had a moral victory last night in St. Louis, Bobby?
I told you guys I didn't watch or wasn't going to watch, but I actually did tune in for parts of the game. Tom Brady was really tough, so I switched back to hockey. I thought they were good. They were in the game. I don't know. St. Louis isn't a great team right now. They're not beating it down too impressively either. But I don't know what you're looking for. I mean, if you're not going to win, how many moral victories can you settle on? The fluky goal that ends the game, unfortunately, cost them 2 points. But I did think that there was a response after the bad beating in Colorado, and I think that's all you can ask for, your young players stepping up and responding.
I was pissed. They ended my streak. I was 7-0 on the Botano. Did they deserve to win? Absolutely. St. Louis, though, they didn't generate anything. Full marks for Ottawa, as Bobby mentioned. They came out. Nice response. Is it a moral victory? Well, one thing you can say is they're not quitting on their coach. So they came out. They played hard. Yeah. First period, everyone's talking about the one that the Talbot gaffed on. I thought he should have had the first one too. But after that, he played really well. Talbot made some great saves in the third period. So, but this is a predicament they're in. Because they had that horrible stretch early on in the season, you're going to have games like this where you probably deserve to win and you don't, because that's just how the NHL goes. You're going to now have games like this. And so is there a moral victory? I don't know. It's the positive thing I'll say is the response. And Timmy Stützle, I thought, was fantastic in that game. I'm sitting there in the last 5 minutes. I'm at last 5 minutes of the game. I'm like, just keep him on the ice. I wouldn't even take him off. That kid was, he was jumping. There's some good things. Yeah. And listen, I'm not surprised where they are. We keep saying this. This is exactly where the team, everybody's expectations were way too high. This is exactly where they should be for what they are. But there's definitely some positives, but I can see why people are pissed off. Everybody expected more because they were sold a different bill of goods over the summer. So fans have that right, and I get it.
You know, I'm just wrapping up on Timmy. I like that we talked about it yesterday. He essentially called himself out in the media, and you see by the response that he wasn't blowing smoke, right? Saying what you need to say to the reporters and just going about his business. He came out and responded and was the best player on the ice. So I like that, especially from a kid that just turned 21 and is going to be your franchise.
Yeah, so just one more thing on him. Like, I know a lot of people are trying to try and find positives because Ottawa hasn't made the playoffs in so long. But if you look at that draft and the other players that were picked ahead of them and around them, where they are and their careers are and where Tim Stützle is. So if you really want to think of something positive, this guy's got a chance to be, he is right now a really good player, but compare him to Kotkaniemi in Carolina. Yeah. Or the kid that went to Detroit, or the first overall pick, Lafreniere. Like, they got an absolute stud in this draft, Quinton Byfield in L.A., who's still, I know we talked about him before, but to me, that, because that's what you need. You need a player like a Stützle if you want to eventually get to that point in the playoffs where you have a chance to win it all. So I know we're going to do surprises later, but, man, I'm just really excited about that kid. I think he's got it.
Yeah, I agree.
You know what, Bobby, since you brought up the Cowboy game, which I was happy to watch until I kept seeing Brett Maher kicking point after attempts. If you are a professional athlete and you're on the stage like this and there's nowhere to hide, what is it like? Like, can you guys put in perspective of what it must be like to be that guy?
That guy could not get small enough on that sideline. he's going to be in the injury tent just hiding out on Twitter or doing something. Just get your mind off it, buddy. It is so demoralizing. And you know, luckily enough, they controlled the game the way they did. But did you see Peyton Manning's reaction after like the second or third one?
He just left. Monday Night Football.
He left and was like, they're going to cut this guy at halftime. I've been there, so I maybe not to that degree, but oh man, you think he slept well last night? Not a chance. So I was kind of wondering if they were going to cut him today and bring somebody in, but I don't know if he can at this stage.
He's proven it by now. Like, I guess everybody has one of those nights where they're off. For those who don't remember, he actually was an Ottawa Red Black before he jumped to the NFL.
Oh, really?
So
Wasn't in the nerd report. You got to tell us, buddy.
Come on, Wally, you're slacking.
See, sometimes I just want you to do. I want you to do your own work for a change. more work to come. We'll get to the torts and the iPads. This show, happily presented by Renfrew Pro Tape, as we continue to hold this show together with Pro Tape. They are the original hockey tape. And by the way, they're. I keep saying it. The Polyflex shin pad tape is made from moisture-resistant polyethylene. It's a lot of hard words. That's durable while still hand-terrible with elasticity and memory to keep your gear securely in place throughout your game. By the way, Chris Neal loved shin pad tape more than anybody I've ever met. He just used like a roll every time he went on the ice. Renfrew Pro, feel the game. Also, follow them on Instagram at Renfrew Pro. Every Friday, they have weekly giveaways. Okay, so Torts wants the iPads gone. And I can remember Josh Norris. I looked for a photo of it. And I couldn't get one. Is Norris throwing down the iPad one time? There's the famous Chris Kreider takes it from Mika Zibanejad on the bench when the Rangers and throws it. You guys have both. Well, I don't. Yorkie, you wouldn't have used it on the bench, but there it is. Bobby, I've seen you watching it on the bench. Would you keep them on the bench or not?
No. The only time I would use it. iPads are meant for two things, and neither one of them are on the bench. I don't like it. The only time I would use it was if there was a defensive breakdown that I was involved in to see where I should have kind of edged towards or what I would have done. But what I don't like is when guys do it after they miss a scoring chance, because you're not going to get that same scoring chance again, right? It just everything changes every shot you take. So I hate when guys get so deep detailed into it. Like the picture here is fine. They're going over something systematically. That's going to happen. But I think Torts is right in the sense that guys just get so bogged down by it that they're watching play after play and they're not really present in the game. I think it takes you out of that a little bit. And, you know, we talked about this a while ago. I'm very, very big on short and sweet video stuff. Like you can't be more than 4 or 5 minutes because the attention just goes elsewhere. So I would rather be in the present in the game myself. I've used it for times for shootouts purposes too, but that's about it.
Yeah, shootouts would be good because you can get a read on the goaltender. I'd actually like it for if you're a power play guy for seeing how they're setting up their box and what they're doing. Just hey guys, take a quick look at this during a timeout or whatever because. There is a benefit, for sure there is. We'd be lying if I said there wasn't. But, yeah, you can't be looking at it after every shift. And, man, I'm too busy catching my breath and getting ready for the next shift, especially if you're a guy that plays
sucking wind,
eh? So, I think they're getting overused a little bit. But I still think there's an element where it can do a little bit of good, too.
Interesting to point out, though, Yorkie, when you were coaching Junior A, did you have this hockey TV? So my kid now plays U18, 15, 16-year-old kids. They're showing hockey TV on the bench to players. So it's now trickled down all the way to that age. Like, there's got to be a limit here, doesn't there?
Or a budget. Man, that's a pretty big budget there. They've got the iPads on the bench in minor hockey. Yeah. No wonder you guys are... The dues are so high.
only get three rolls of paper team. Pulling the money on an iPad.
The one thing I will say about kids is if you don't tell them right away, they've forgotten about that play if you try and bring it up later. Like it's gone in the memory bank. So and also too, especially with young teenagers, they're so visual. When you tell them something, they're looking at you they don't know what you're talking about. Like, so being able to see it is a value. Is there some value, especially in practice too? Bobby, I know you're doing some skill stuff. If you try and explain to certain players a drill and you don't do a demonstration, like there's certain players you have on the ice, you say, listen, whatever you do, you're not going first because you're a drill buster. Go to the back,
back of the line.
Go to the back of line. There's no shame in that. I know you're a visual learner. Just go to the back of line. And I'd always have one kid, no, I know the drill. I'm going first. I'm like, all right, go ahead. Need to screw it up. Start it over. Hey, Bobby.
That doesn't change at any level because Chris Neal had to go first in every drill. We'd be like, all right, let Neal get through his rep, absolutely destroy it, and then we'll start.
Go ahead, Neal. I was just going to mention Chris Neal.
Is Neal a drill buster?
He towed the line very well. But if it was a straight line drill, he was fine. But as soon as you start getting the circles and things like that, you're like, Neal is going to go left, but he should have gone right.
That's awesome.
We're coming up video sessions, and we'll talk a bit about how video sessions work in the NHL level, but we'll also break down some of the goals from the last couple of games. Finally, before we get to that, there's a couple of things. One, we brought it up, I think, last week about Stanley Cup paychecks and what you get paid for winning the Stanley Cup. Bobby, you have the answer for us. Tell us how much money players are raking in.
$100,000 for a Stanley Cup win. That was the year of the bubble, and that was last year in the COVID year for the Tampa Bay guys. $100,000 for the victories. So $1 million, a tenth of what you thought.
Okay, so I made a mistake. I misspoke.
Just a touch.
Still pretty good.
So, I just want you
what
to
did
do
you
your
say
work
again, Wally? Wally, what was your prediction?
I didn't say
what
anything.
What did you think it was?
Nothing. It was nothing. I didn't say anything.
You were like million, five yeah, times million. Over.
Not a chance. Oh,
finally, before Sens disappointments and surprises as we hit the midway point of the season, I don't want to go through who's the best player and all that stuff because it just doesn't make any sense. But I'll start with you, Yorkie. Who is your perhaps surprise of the season? And it can also be a disappointment at the same time. But if you want, you can split them up.
So my surprise player that I'm surprised of how he's played. Well, I knew Jake Sanderson was going to be a good player, but nobody knew he was going to be this good. I remember watching him in exhibition. I'm like, oh, he's got a chance to be really good. But to do what he's doing right now, everyone's talked about him. So I'm not saying something nobody else hasn't spoke of, but that's the obvious. He's the obvious that sticks out like a sore thumb on this roster. But as far as most surprising, and this is probably surprising and disappointing at the same time, because what this player has managed to do, this is really tough. Really tough to be. I don't want to crap on this player because I think he's a hell of a player. I think he's probably Ottawa's second most skilled player after Tim Stützle. But Drake Batherson is minus 29. Do you know how hard that is to lead the league in being that high of a minus? And honestly, we have a clip we're going to show later. A lot of times you're jumping on the ice and circumstances dictate. You're stepping on the ice and you're watching your team get scored on and you're getting another minus. And then as the minuses roll up, you're watching them. And then it just becomes a mental grind and you just got to stop looking. But to see him at that number, and listen, we've talked about this. Bobby's talk plus minus is a shitty, shitty stat. But if you're going to tell me at the beginning of the year that Drake Batherson was going to be minus 29, and the next closest guy, I think you said it, Wally Pinto, is minus 16. Because if you look at all the other teams, there's a lot of St. Louis guys clumped in there. There's a lot of Anaheim guys, Chicago guys. But Drake's the only guy in Ottawa's on the top 30 in the league. So it's a shitty stat, and I'm kind of saying this tongue-in-cheek. But that is surprising to be that low in the plus-minus. So a lot of bad luck. And he's made some questionable defensive plays, but still love the player. Still think he's got a hell of a future, but to be minus 29, man, that's impressive. That's impressive.
He's Most guys are going, I hope I score tonight. And he's just hoping for a bogey. He's like, just making it tough. I've been there too. I get it.
It's awful.
Is there anything worse than stepping on? Well, I guess there's lots worse, but is there anything worse than getting on the ice and having a goal scored that you have no play in or part of whatsoever?
Yeah, that's just funny. Three strides into a shift and you take one. Yeah, there's nothing like a forward change on the way back, and you're just going, this guy, I know what he's doing. I know exactly, because I've had maybe a few guys that were so good at it, like ridiculously good at it. And you step on and you just watch one go in. You're like, I was 60 feet away. What am I supposed to do? It's frustrating, but I was going to say my surprise was Sanderson, because the more I watch him, the more I think he's going to be a very elite defenseman. Well, he's already a good one, but yeah. I mean, imagine when this kid's 25 years old. It's gonna be scary.
Yep, no question. There's lots of, you know what, though, as tough as we are on this group, there's lots of positives you can see building, especially with Sanderson or Tim Stützle.
Yeah,
I mean, Shane Pinto is still taking his game to another level, regardless of how we complain about him, perhaps as a second center. I really like Shane Pinto's game, and I think he's just going to evolve. What about disappointments? I don't even know if you've had time to think of them, but Bobby, do you have one, perhaps?
The entire decor, aside from Sanderson and Chabot. Just a blanket. The surprise would be or the disappointment would be the decor. I thought that they were going to be a little more capable than they have been.
Yeah. So just to add on, I would say I'm disappointed. If I'm a fan of the Ottawa Senators, I'm disappointed in the bill of goods I was sold over the summer. And part of that is they didn't bring in a defenseman. So to me, if I'm a fan and I was told one thing and the team's not playing, I'm disappointed. But I'm disappointed that blue line wasn't addressed. It should have been addressed. And I know we've been beating that drum to death. But it is true. Yep. Like, that should have been done.
I agree. Yeah. And I think that's obviously it's come back to haunt them, but we knew that going into the season. We're like, and it's been 2 years for the most part of you've got to address the blue line, and it just hasn't been addressed with except stopgap measures of Travis Hamonic and Nick Holden. Those guys just aren't the answer, obviously, on the blue line. No. All right. This show, a couple more before we get to the video, and that is BEI, one of our main sponsors, Bonisher Excavating Inc. If you're looking for heavy equipment rentals in the Ottawa Valley, all kinds of stuff, concrete formwork, aggregate and topsoil sales, they are the ones to give them a call. 613-432-1120. Go to bonisherexcavating.com. Also, we'd like to point out today, we'll do it right now, Alex. We'll point out today that there is a new special at Montana's, by the way, guys. Taco Ooh, Tuesday.
Let's go.
It was in the Nerd Report, so I don't know. You probably didn't read it. $5 with any purchase of any beverage all day long. By the way, Montana is the place to come to enjoy some tasty comfort food while hanging out with family and friends and watching the Sens game. All kinds of stuff going on at Montana's, plus daily drink deals. Lots of stuff. Every day they've got something different going on. Taco Tuesday. Also, by the way, there is a contest going on. You can win 2 trips to the NHL Awards in Nashville. It also to do with Molson Canada. So just go to Montana.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Check it out. All right. So it's time for Yorkie and Bobby to help break down, as we promised you, the Sens system. I don't even know what you want to call it. But Yorkie, in order for you to do this, I believe you have to speak like Howie Meeker.
All right, stop it right there, Wally. That's going to show you. Just back that play up right that's
very good. All right, this is where I just get to sit back now. You guys take it away and show me what you got.
Okay, so we're going back to this. This was the game where Thomas Chabot took a lot of heat, the Colorado game. Nobody had a strong game. And first goal of the hockey game. And very easy on this play. This is the one Chabot fell down on. Everyone's like, oh, Chabot fell down. That's why the goal got scored. But in Ottawa's system, they like to come with a heavy forecheck. They routinely like to send two guys in and be really hard and finish your hits. That's fine if you're going to play that way. But if you are, especially against a team like Colorado, you can't get beat up the ice. So watch what happens here. You have on the bottom of your screen there, that is Samuel Girard, who's one of the best offensive defensemen in the league, highlighted. Beside him is Derek Brassard. You cannot get beat up the ice by Samuel Girard. Otherwise, he's going to get an outnumbered rush. So right away, you've went in, you've gotten beat. Other side of the screen, that's Nathan MacKinnon, who's over on the far side, and right with him is Austin Watson. That is Austin Watson, man. So big ask, but you can't beat up the ice by MacKinnon. So here's the thing. If you want to play that strong system, it's really tough against a team like Colorado. So watch what happens if you roll it up. Your Chabot falls down, and then right there, those two guys beat both their forwards up the ice. So yes, Chabot falls down, but to throw gasoline on that, both of your forwards get beat up the ice and they turn a mistake into multiple mistakes. And that's when you look at plays like that, there's sometimes more than meets the eye. Chabot falls, but two forwards got a little overzealous on the play. And Zub ends up having to play a 3-on-1. So anything to add there, Bobby?
Yeah. I mean, when you look at the beginning of the clip, Brassard does everything right by finishing the check, but the biggest part about finishing a check is reloading. So he doesn't reload. Watson goes for a skate. Like, for me, if I'm seeing MacKinnon here, I'm just backing up and making a business decision, right? Like, where are you going? and then on top of that, this play gets broken, but he over back checks as well. Watson does, as opposed to just coming back and kind of, you know, shutting down at the faceoff, at the hash marks there, like come back, shut down, and then reattack. And I think that goal is prevented if he does that, at least the broken part of the play. Like, Chabby's doing a good job here, actually. He falls, that's going to happen, but he's closing gap. And that's what you want to do against a guy like Mikko Rantanen or a guy like MacKinnon. Like, as a defenseman, you want to close the gap. So, you know, I don't know why he takes a beating. He falls, it happens. But everybody else in this clip does nothing to alleviate. Like, they just compound the problem. Zub screening his goalie. The other two guys get, you know, Kastelic's the only one off the hook here because he finishes a check and doesn't have to worry about his guy. But other than that, every single guy in this clip has done something wrong. Right here, like, Zub would have closed that gap, but because he's seeing Girard on the side there, you know, streaking down with nobody on him, he can't do anything. He has to just cave to the middle of the ice like he does. So, you know, the biggest issue is if you get beat up the ice, you're putting a lot of pressure on your defenseman to try to buy time, and that's what happens here.
Yeah, I'm a big believer, especially when you're playing a really fast and skilled team like Colorado, of playing on top of the puck. If you get into a foot race with Nathan MacKinnon, he's going to beat you. So that's a really tough ask for Watson to go stride for stride with MacKinnon and Girard as well. So I wonder why are you going so aggressive when you're playing against the other team's top line? It's just, to me, it's not playing smart. And obviously, if Chabot stays up, nothing bad happens. But I was always taught you got to think worst case scenario. But hey, mistakes do happen in the game. It's part of it, and lots on that play. So,
yeah.
What do we got next here, Wally?
What's next?
This is okay. So this, now we're going into last night's game against St. Louis, and this is the goal where Travis Hamonic took a beating. And here's the thing: when you're a broadcaster in studio, you don't have a lot of time to really watch these plays. This goal happens because Ottawa never gets the puck past the red line, and it's a really bad line change. So really tough play for the D. And the worst part of this one, we talked about it earlier, I think it's Lucchini changes after the puck doesn't get deep. So he goes for a line change. And guess who's going to step on the ice and get a nice minus here to go 19? From number 19. If you see from the bench at the top of your screen, Lucchini goes for a change after they don't get the puck deep. It goes D to D. Parker Kelly is skating like a madman to get back. And right there, there's Batherson watching, scores.
Dash.
So
watching, dash.
Dash. And he had nothing to do with that play. But that whole play starts, if we can watch it one more time, because everyone's going to say, well, Hamonic didn't have his guy going to the net, but the puck's going to get thrown up the boards. No play there. So right there, that puck can't get turned over. It gets turned over, bad line change. D can't gap up. Hamonic does do a pretty good job. And again, I think Talbot's got to have that as well. That one just sneaks through his legs, but that third or fourth line doesn't get it deep. They have a bad line change. The D don't have a chance to gap up. Easy thing to do is to blame Hamonic, but actually Sanderson does a decent job, but that's bad puck management.
I mean, this is a tough one. Like, Sanderson doesn't get beat wide because of his skating ability very often, but he's flat-footed here, and a guy's just streaming down. Like, he's got no chance. So I actually thought he did a good job to keep him outside the post.
Me too.
Play. And I mean, Hamonic, can he get under the stick and lift it? Probably, but he's doing the same thing. He's flat-footed, and guys are flying coming in there. He's doing everything he can just to kind of take the chance away. It doesn't really happen like that, but, I mean, look at him. He's flat. He's got nothing. He turns around, and here comes a guy streaking down the middle of the ice that I got to try to pick up in 5 feet of space. So it's a hard ask, I think, for a defenseman on that play. But yeah, the whole thing stems from it. That puck has got to get over the blue line, and your guys can't go. Like, Lucchini has no business changing there. Somebody's got to pressure that puck carrier earlier.
It's amazing how open the center of the ice is here. If you look here on the line change, there's three Ottawa Senators, and the whole neutral zone – 1, 2, 3, 4 St. Louis Blues. Every single Ottawa Senator forward is on the wrong side of the puck. And then you've got your 2D. And here they come. Here comes the cavalry, but too late. Yeah. So,
dude, you know what I would like? They get five guys in the picture. Like, whenever you stop a goal as it's going in, you stop to see where your guys are. They have five guys in a picture, but nobody's doing anything correctly. Like, that's even tougher. That was a 12-5 at the end of it.
And look at poor Batherson's body language behind the net.
Oh, yeah.
He's like, holy shit. Are you kidding me? Another minus? What's that Lucchini kid changing for now? Thanks a lot, kid. That's what's going through his mind right now. Oh, boy.
Oh,
but, like, so again, last night, Hamonic's got to do a better job. It's Hamonic's fault. Listen, there's a lot more that goes into a goal getting scored on you than just watching the replay of the puck going in because the guy doesn't have the stick properly. Really tough play. Yeah. And so there's bad line change, turnover, bad change, goal. So it's what's next here? We have the second goal here.
So before you play that, let me ask a question for you too, because we see all these breakdowns. Whose fault is this? Why are we making bad line changes? Why are we creating all of this chaos? Is there not a root to all this? And I'll point to coaching, and I don't know that it's coaching, but somewhere there's something fundamentally wrong with the way this group is playing.
This is weird too, because you're absolutely correct, but I guarantee you DJ is talking about this and yelling about this and showing that, like, there's nothing more embarrassing than getting a video session the day after a game like this and seeing yourself on a line change. But that's all a coach can really do. He can plant you to the bench after you make one, for sure. But you can talk to your blue in the face about it. But if guys just don't have a feel for the game, don't understand that you can't make that change, I don't know if it's teachable at this level. you could, I mean, all you can do is continuously yell, right?
Yeah, and it's not minor hockey either.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, like there's no, the coach isn't on the bench. Like anyone listening or watching, the coach is minor hockey. The coach isn't on top of the bench yelling, get off the ice, change, time to change. Pros know, are you have to know when you're changing on the fly, when the right time is going. That puck's not deep. You better sprint to the middle of the ice and make sure it's not an easy entry for the other team. But hey, easier said than done. Things are happening a million miles an hour. Those guys want to get off the ice. They're trying to change fast. So there's reasons for them wanting to do that. And mistakes are part of the game. But that's, for me, it's so easy for everybody to blame the one person. What's great about video is it shows you the steps that happen to cause these goals. So, and there's usually a reason. There's always a mistake, the last mistake you see, but there's usually two or three things happen prior to that that turn that into a scoring opportunity.
Yeah.
Fair enough. Just the other question is just, is that the difference between, I'll say it, an NHL player and a guy that's just maybe on the cusp or in the A trying to make it, is these kinds of small little mistakes that separate the difference. It's the, I guess, the mental aspect of the game.
Yes and no. I mean, I've played with some very, very elite NHL players that just had no feel for when to change too. Right. So that part's not it, but, but I guess if you really break it down and he continuously makes a mistake, there's an argument for that there.
Yeah. And if you're an average skilled player, I'll take a player for example. We're going to have him on this week, Sean Van Allen. If you're a guy that knows to stay in the league, you need to do all the little things right, changing on time, putting the puck in good areas. That's how you earn the coach's trust. And once you earn the coach's trust, you end up playing more, you end up doing better, your stats get better, and then you slowly build a career. The superstars are always going to play. It's guys that figure out a way how to stay in the league, and it's usually by being a smart player. Because there's a lot of super, super talented guys, but they don't understand how to make smart decisions all the time, and they don't understand how to earn a coach's trust. You earn a coach's trust by making smart plays, and everyone's going to make bad plays, but if you can make, hey, Captain Obvious here, a lot more smart plays than dumb plays, you're probably going to last a little longer in the NHL.
Yeah.
All right, last video, and then I got something else to wrap up about coaching, because the chat is filled with coaching questions, and I have one that continually comes up about the third and fourth line. Last highlight, I believe, is the Thomas Chabot, Cam Talbot gaffe, if you will. Alex, roll that tape.
So right away, this is in the first period, and I didn't think either team was very good in the first period, but again, for a team that really values itself as a hard team that, bad play by Talbot. But for a team that really values themselves as a hard team to play against, if you go back to the start of this clip and right at the beginning of the clip and right in the corner there, I don't know if you can stop that. So right away, you got a one-on-one battle. That's your first forechecker going in there, DeBrincat. So his job is to go in, get contact with the defenseman, and then cause a delay, or his job's not to get the puck. His job is to make that defenseman. His job is to make that defenseman put the puck in a bad spot or take the body and finish him. The first forechecker does none of the above. He goes in and it's like, doesn't hit him, doesn't get his stick in the play. And then all of a sudden the second guy comes in and it's much of the same. So right away, you haven't done your job either forward. So puck comes up very easily out of the zone. Chabot decides to come in. Everyone's in decent position here, and it should be a nothing play. The puck's going to end up coming to Chabot here. He mishandles it, and then the puck comes to Talbot, and then Talbot just gaffes on it. So, number one, not a great forecheck. Number two, Chabot mishandles it. Number three, Talbot's just got to come up the boards with that puck. And tough, tough start to that game. Right here as well, Bobby, I would like to see Thomas just step in front of that forechecker and he doesn't want to get an interference penalty, but you can skate in front of him, right? And just impede his progress a little bit.
I guess in the last couple of, the last couple strides there, like just get in the way, right? Just get in the way. And I understand what he was doing. He stands it because you can tell he's standing upright and he veers towards that corner a little bit. So he's hoping that Talbot plays it on the backhand and he's just being an outlet. But going back to the beginning of the clip, I mean, the forechecking was horrendous in the corner. They, like you said, they did neither of their jobs, which guy A in this case was DeBrincat. Your whole role is to just, you just cause a stop. And then watch the puck move either way. Then that Pinto, I don't think he dives in here. That's his battle to get in on. But I would like him to stay on the defensive side here. Like he gets underneath these guys, and it becomes an easy out. The third part, and this is a great place to stop. Chabby's in because he understands that there's a 2-on-2 in the corner, so he's in. I would like him to stay in here. You're already in. You're committed. And if you get beat. If you get beat here, you got guys behind you. You can see Giroux coming back up the ice. Your other defensemen's there, and you have people behind you to kind of shore up that link. But when he backs off, he essentially gives them out here. Like if by trying to handle a puck that's flipped out of the zone. So it's a tough clip all around. I think three different things could have changed the outcome of the goal. Ultimately, they got away with it, and Talbot just screws up, and that's going to, I mean, it's a fluky goal. But the forecheck was horrendous.
Yeah, I didn't like their forecheck all first period. And then it's amazing. You watch Ottawa play in that third period, and they were relentless. As soon as they needed that goal at the end to come back, it was a different kind of energy, and it happens. You have your ebbs and flows of the game, but one of those games, I didn't think either team was good in the first period. And then just if they somehow found a way to get out of that period, just 1-0, they probably win it. But hey, those are going to happen. Those plays happen to the best of the goaltenders of handling the puck, just bad luck. And unfortunately for Ottawa, the team played pretty well, and then your goaltender has a little bit of a slow start. It just seems that's the way things have been going for Ottawa. It's if one thing's going, another thing's not going, and it's kind of how they're
very. They haven't fired on every cylinder and very often.
Yeah. So hey, last clip. I think we have a nice positive one here. It's the Stützle goal, right? We have the one goal from last night, which I think is a great example of where Stutzla's game comes. This goal starts all the way from the defensive zone, and this just shows you the value of a good clean pass out of your own zone. It's actually Stützle comes low, and watch this, right in the middle of the ice, because he uses the middle of the ice, opens things up, and then there's a nice Bernard Docker dump in, and then Brady, what a pass he makes here from the back of the net, and Stützle, that's his 19th goal of the year. But that goal doesn't happen. And this is why I always like to talk about clean breakouts. Unless you get that clean breakout where it's a stick to stick, and then everybody knows on the dump in that it's going to be a rim, they get to the puck first. Stützle goes to that little soft spot. But I love the breakout. I always, as a defenseman, I just love when you see a guy use a clean play like that. And no, Stützle was terrific. And that when you hear the term 200-foot player. This is a 200-foot play, and it starts with Stützle below the goal line, and it ends with Stützle in the back of the net.
Yeah, it's a great breakout. Chabby does a really good job here causing that little bit of separation for him to come in and fish that out, so he won't get credit for that because that's not what we do here. But Brady comes in, does a good job. I like Batherson too, not trying to make a play, just kicking that puck back out to Brady, who's on his strong side. So great. It's a 200, like you said it well, 200-foot goal that you know, ends with a great piece of skill on that one touch pass by Brady in the shot. I like that Timmy shuts down here too, right in the middle. Like that's an easy one to come, you know, to kind of coast right through here and not stop. He hits the brakes and identifies where he needs to be. And you score a lot of goals if you do that.
Yeah, it's that little soft spot. Sorry. Yeah, go ahead.
I mean, the great point there is he went through that area, right? Like he went right through that area and it ends up costing them.
Yeah. Good point.
So the last few, it feels like the last three or four games, maybe it's longer. DJ Smith continues to pump the third and fourth lines and saying how great they are doing all the things they need to do. Is that because he's upset with his top two lines? Does he really think the third and fourth lines are the answer of how this team is going to get out of the way it's been playing lately? You played for him, Bobby. Tell me why he continues to say Dylan Gambrell has been extremely good.
I don't know. I don't know. I wish I had an answer for that. I think it's hard to understand the inner workings of what a coach is going through when he knows his bottom two lines are not very good. And he's probably trying to say that they're, you know, elevated and they're doing better than they are because he wants them to have confidence and wants them to be confident going out there on the ice. That's my guess. You know, but like we talked about outside of Parker Kelly, I don't know that that's very true. You know, we got some guys filling some roles that probably won't be there long term, but I that's my guess, is that he's just really, really wanting to let those guys know that he's in their corner. And if you're a third or fourth line guy right now, you're appreciating that for sure, right?
For sure. I agree. I think Kelly's been good. I like Kostelec too. I think if Kostelec was strictly your fourth line center right now, I think he's 60% on draws, but just playing a lesser role. The way those top two lines were going the last 4 or 5 minutes of the game, I don't know, Bobby, are you capable of staying on the ice double shifted for the last 4 minutes of the game? Probably, right? I was shocked. You're down 2-1, and I would have went right down the two lines. And listen, I hate criticizing line changes, but man, I'm like, get Stutzla's line back out there. Get that second line. DeBrincat's line was really starting to go in the second half of that game. And then when I saw Kostelec come over, I'm like, man, I don't know if I'd be making that move with the last 3 minutes to go. And listen, he took a penalty. That happens. It's unfortunate. But I don't know, for me as a defenseman, obviously easier to go out there every second shift. Last 4 minutes of the game, Bobby, can you roll two lines? I think Bobby's frozen, Wally.
Bobby didn't pay his Verizon or whatever it is.
I think we lost.
The last thing about the Sens video session, by the way, great job by you two to break this down, is what is the Ottawa Senators system? Like, do you know what it is, Yorkie? Can you tell watching?
Well, there's different types of systems and identities, and a system too changes during a game. Like, you'll go from like a 2-1-2 forecheck, which is two guys in hard. Maybe you're winning at the end, you go to a 1-2-2. From what I can gather from watching the Senators, is you read the play, and when the first two forwards feel they can get in there hard on the forecheck, F1's in hard, and F2's supporting the puck as well, and F3 is supposed to read, and they pinch their D down the boards based on what F1 does. In any system, no matter what you do, and Bobby, you can weigh in on this, the most important guy is F1. The very first guy, if he doesn't do his job properly, you're screwed. If he doesn't put that defenseman into a situation where everybody else knows the puck's going, and by what I mean by that is, if he doesn't move his feet, if he doesn't use his stick, angle correctly, it doesn't matter what system you're playing. And that's the most important guy. Everybody reads off F1. So do I know exactly what system they're playing? They're playing an aggressive system. I know they want contact. They want to get hard. And if after their initial forecheck, he wants them tracking back through the middle of the ice as hard as possible, disrupting on the back check. So for me, it's like an aggressive 1-2-2. Then I wonder, because sometimes they get stuck on the wrong side of the puck. And to me, that's just, it's wrong reads you're making. And a lot of times in that one particular clip, your system breaks down when F1 doesn't do his job properly.
Yeah, no, I would agree with that. Every forecheck is always dictated by your first guy in. Whether it's a stall, whether it's a sweeping forecheck, and you're just trying to make sure they go D to D every single time, whether you want F1 to meet. Like, I've played systems where you want your F1 to not meet at the puck, almost late to make them sweep. So this is not what they're doing. They're aggressive. And F1 has got to be a guy that gets in there and stalls the puck and makes them come back up the strong side so that your F2 and F3 can read and know where to be. And when that doesn't happen, you look at a guy like Pinto, who dives in a little bit on his F2 there when he probably shouldn't have. which puts G in a tough spot to come back through the middle, and either guy tracks well. So yeah, that F1 kind of dictates everything, and he's the most important guy on the ice.
And to play this system too, you got to be quick. You got to reload fast. And I know one of the things they like is they like to call it, you take some skin on the forecheck, which is you always get a, it's one of the terms they use, but taking skin means you take a piece of the defenseman so he doesn't jump by you. So that the first goal we scored you, well, there was no skin taken on that because Sam Girard jumps right by his forechecker, Broussard. So right away, your forecheck is broken down. And then that's when you run into problems. It's you got to be, like, for me, a guy like DeBrincat, he's more of a guy that plays on top and he skates on top and he waits for loose pucks to bounce out. That would be a tough system for him to play in because he's more of a be on top of the puck. And I look at Ottawa, with the exception of Brady Tkachuk, like, he's a guy made to play that system. Because when he comes in on the forecheck, you're a defenseman. He makes you uncomfortable because, you know, when he comes in, I'm not just going to turn my back on it because I know I have time. I'm moving it quick because I know I'm going to get killed. And he's tailor made for playing this system. He's tailor made for playoff hockey.
Yeah, absolutely.
A couple of points. One is Jake Lucchini on waivers today because it looks like Josh Norris is off the IR, so I suspect he plays tomorrow. When he was on our show, we had a chat with him earlier, and he's always targeting playing in the middle of January or perhaps right around this time. So good to see him back. He's been anxious to get in the lineup. He should be in it tomorrow, I would suspect, against Pittsburgh. Also, Matthew Joseph, who we thought would play yesterday, should also be back in the lineup. So that has a big impact, I would think, on how things are going to start to slot out as we see. It won't obviously be tomorrow right away as they need to get – well, you guys tell me. You come back from injury – your first game, or maybe it's actually your second or third, you have a little bit of a letdown, right? First one, you've got the adrenaline going. So we'll see how that plays out, which leads me to, guys, it's your favorite time of the show. And for Bobby, we need the helmet.
A lock?
It is a lock. All right. So if you could please
put it back on.
Bobby, you have
the golden.
Yeah, you have to put the helmet back on.
The golden helmet let me down. This sucker let me down.
It's all Bobby's now. You're going to have to just sit back. There
you
go.
So I got to be honest. I don't know what game we're talking about. What's the lock of the day game?
It's going to be Pittsburgh tomorrow. So Pittsburgh's in town tomorrow because we don't have a show tomorrow. Pittsburgh, obviously they're fighting for their playoff lives as they're in the wild card hunt. They've lost 5 of 6 on the road, however. But against the Ottawa Senators the last 10 games, 7-2-1. And they are the favorites. Ottawa's obviously lost 4 of 5 and have scored 6 goals in their last 4 games. Sidney Crosby, I think, has 50 points in 43 games against the Sens. These are the odds, by the way, subject to change before tomorrow's puck drop. Brought to you by Betano.ca. So, Yorkie, we've done Bobby got to go first last game. So I'll come back to you, Yorkie, since you were destroyed in the last game and you've seen your perfect record as the smartest man in hockey come to an end. Who are you taking?
This is a tough one because Ottawa's coming back from a road trip. And usually when you come back from a road trip, you have that little bit of a not a letdown, but whatever, the road legs. Pittsburgh's been good. It's a toss up for me. You know what? I'm going to go with home ice. Ottawa's back. I'm going to take Ottawa in this one. I'll take the Sennies. Yeah, I'll take the Sennies on this one.
Joseph's like he's back gifting in. It to you, Bobby.
Yeah, there
thank
you go.
Thank you very
Bobby.
Much, eh?
Yeah. I'll take Ottawa.
you threw that up there easily. I'm gonna get the bat off the shoulders and take the Pens. they're playing for a spot in the playoffs. The Sens came home after a couple days on the road, probably a lazy day today. And then to try to fire, you guys know how hard that is to try to fire that back up after you come home from a little bit on the road, and get the body moving again. So I'm going to just go with that. And then, I just checked that the Pens don't play tonight. So they're up there at the Brook Street. They're all having room service being good boys. So I'm going to take them.
That wasn't a confident pick I had. And Zub's still out. So no. But Zub's out of the lineup still. But one thing we didn't talk about, fellas, I thought Bernard Docker was really good last night. I thought he had a hell of a game.
Yeah.
For I know we talked about him before.
Yeah, I was going to tell you guys that we should give him another game or two and then kind of do a little weigh in on him, because I thought he was good.
Yeah, me too, for sure.
I will pencil in next Tuesday as a video session day for the show.
Oh, boy, that's a lot of work.
Bobby, you have to leave the helmet on the rest of the show.
The show's over. The lock of the day is it. Like, wrap it up.
I know, but I just want to keep you with the helmet on. That's my favorite part now. Fine. We will see you. Bobby's off on Thursday, but we have, as Yorkie already ruined it, the surprise of Sean Van Allen is going to join us. We're going to tell old stories about way back in the day. But we will
you
do that
gonna
on
get sick
Thursday.
Of me, you've seen a lot of me on TV the next couple of days, so up there a little hockey action or whatever, the hockey day in Canada. I'll be up in Owen Sound freezing, so I'll be
nice.
You guys will be seeing me.
Enjoy your trip. Take in a Montana's while you're there. All right, everybody. We'll see you next
time.
Where's
my gift card?
Thanks for watching Coming in Hot.
See you, gentlemen.
See you, boys.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud. Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Mother's Day is just around the corner, and it's time to pamper the special moms in your life. And what better way than with Osea's limited edition skincare sets featuring clean, vegan, cruelty-free products that are safe for your skin and the planet. Osea is a women-founded, women-led brand that's been making seaweed-infused products for nearly 30 years. This Mother's Day, Osea has two limited edition sets, perfect for gifting or keeping for yourself. Their Golden Glow body set includes three clinically proven bestsellers for silky, smooth, glowing skin, while the Glow and Go facial set has everything she needs to achieve spa-level results at home. They're so beautiful, you can skip the wrapping. For a limited time, you can save up to $48 on Osea sets, plus get free shipping. That's Mother's Day made easy. Pamper the moms in your life and get 10% off your first order site-wide with code MOM at OseaMalibu.com. That's OseaMalibu.com, code MOM.